Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Corpies by Drew Hayes, narrated by Kyle McCarley. Prologue. Owen sat in one of the waiting room's many reinforced chairs and flipped through an old Capes and Cowls magazine. It detailed the rise of one of the latest crops of heroes, fresh off their internships and making quite a splash in the world. Their costumes were crisp, their dialogue concise, their images squeaky clean. These were the kind of wholesome, homespun, moral warriors that would take the lead in creating a new world, free of immorality. These were the kind of heroes the world needed more of. Or at least, that's the idea the reporter espoused. It would have been vastly more impressive if Owen didn't know that two of the featured four were already dead. He'd heard one was in rehab upstate, and though the final member was still active, she wasn't quite so eager or wholesome anymore. She certainly didn't schedule in time for op-ed pieces with interviewers. Now, she just focused on getting the job done. That was the trouble with old magazines. Media darlings rarely lived up to their initial hype, and for the ones who did, the eventual fall just became all the more catastrophic. Owen had just set the magazine down when the door a few feet away flew open. A muscular man, younger than Owen, stepped out. He wore a bright red costume with yellow trim, a matching mask, and a cape that fell to just above his calves. Owen hoped this kid was a flyer or a strong man, otherwise someone was going to make him regret that fluttering fashion choice. A couple of steps behind the costumed kid was another man, this one older, shorter, and sporting a significant paunch instead of a body rippling with muscle.
"Don't worry about a thing. You just go on home and relax," the smaller man assured the larger. "We'll get this whole mess cleaned up and fixed before you can say bam piff zal."
The costumed hero nodded his head and set off through the waiting room. His gaze lingered on Owen for a moment, the spark of recognition flickering through his eyes, almost immediately dismissed. No way. Couldn't be him. Must be a new guy, who was a fan, paying homage with the outfit. He walked through the door without another glance. This man had more worrisome things on the brain.
"Good to see you, Lenny."
Owen rose from the chair and towered over the smaller man. From here, he could see Lenny's prominent bald spot. A different person might have gone for a toupee or a comb-over, or tried some radical drug to fix such vain failings. Not Lenny. He spent every day around people who were physically superior to him. If his ego were wrapped up in his looks, it would have hanged itself long ago.
"My stars, look at you,"
Lenny muttered, taking in the massive form looming over him. He'd have almost sworn it was a few decades ago, and this was the same fresh-faced newbie who was hot out of the HCP. Same chiseled frame, same red shirt and jeans, same dark, wavy hair, same bright mask. The most notable differences were under the mask, though. A crooked smile that wasn't as carefree, the stubble of a working man who didn't have time to shave, tired green eyes that lacked the luster and hope of a new hero. That might have worried others in Lenny's field, but personally he preferred his clients with the shine wiped off. They'd learned they weren't invincible, and they made smarter choices because of that.
"Genetics is bullshit,"
Lenny said at last.
I bet you don't even have to watch what you eat.
Not really, no.
Hell, my doctor has me eating whole wheat and cheese curd every day for breakfast. Do you know what it takes to make that crap taste good?
No, what?
Damned if I have a clue. I was genuinely asking. Enough John in the waiting room. Let's go to the office.
It was strangely comforting how little Lenny's office had changed since Owen left the hero world. The tacky decor, the oversized filing cabinets, the weathered globe that turned into a bar when you swiveled it. All of it was still there. What had changed were the posters on the walls. Lenny always kept his brightest stars up, the hot tickets constantly on display, so that everyone who came in knew the kind of clientele this man catered to. A few of the posters were even framed. These were the ones that weren't coming down, the heroes Lenny considered legendary. Owen only knew of one framed poster Lenny had taken off the wall, and he didn't hold it against the smaller man one bit.
So,
Lenny said, once he was situated behind his desk,
you want to come back to the life?
Owen smiled. He'd forgotten the way Lenny referred to working the hero scene. The life. It was actually a pretty apt phrasing. Being a hero wasn't a 9-to-5. It dominated every aspect of who someone was, even the parts they might wish it didn't.
Yeah, I do.
Lenny ran a hand through his ever-thinning hair.
Listen, Titan. You know I never held the whole fiasco against you. Shit happens. If it didn't, I'd likely be out of a job. That said, time does not heal all wounds as far as public perception is concerned.
Owen appreciated Lenny trying to be diplomatic, skirting the details and not outright referring to what had happened as the Titan scandal, as it had gone down in history. Still, it was an unnecessary nicety. They both knew what had happened, as did a vast majority of the nation, if not the world. Titan, the world-famous hero with a family man image, had been caught by a hidden camera having sex with another hero. Bad as that might have been on its own, what had compounded the issue was the fact that Titan's partner in the scandal, Tower, wasn't female. Infidelity was one thing, but closeted homosexuality, especially in those days, it had led to a fall from grace that was more akin to a plummet. What little of the Titan reputation that remained was almost entirely due to the effort of Lenny. Heroes didn't need agents, technically speaking, any more than a cook needs butter to create a nutritionally sound meal. However, most quickly found out that having a job in the public eye led to a lot of pressure, and people like Lenny made everything flow a lot more smoothly. He was a confidant, a fixer, a PR virtuoso, and a damage control specialist all heaped into a single roly-poly package. Still, even Lenny had his limits, as Owen had learned firsthand.
That's okay. I know I'm not going to be walking back to a warm reception.
You always did have a knack for understatement,
Lenny said.
They'll come after you hard. A lot of people took what happened really personally, and there is nothing they'd love more than a chance to tear you apart.
I know. Believe me, Lenny, no one knows better than me how hated I am.
If only you were just hated. Hated I can work with. We play you as a gruff counterpart to some guy whose image can tolerate it, do a turnaround over time, and presto, you're golden again. No, you're hated and held up as an icon by different groups. That gets people fighting, bickering, really, about some deeply held beliefs. When you've got one man with two different images, you can't shift one without impacting the other.
I can deal with that.
Of course you can, you're fucking Titan. But not so long ago, this was enough to make you hang up the mask. Thankfully, your certification never expires, but getting you relicensed for hero work will be a bear after so long. Not to mention the headaches I'll get once the media gets a hold of it. Now, we go way back, and I like you, so that's shit I'm willing to wade through. But only if you can convince me that I won't do it only to see you walk off again 3 months later. What's changed?
Owen sat silently for a few moments, his giant frame hunched in on itself.
My sons came to see me a few months ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This stays quiet, Lenny. Dead quiet. Because if you think I'm a PR shitstorm, you have no idea what kind of hellhole they would open. Roy and Herschel are in the HCP themselves now, and doing pretty good from what I hear.
I didn't think the HCP took powers.
They don't.
Holy shit.
Lenny turned and popped open his bar, poured himself a healthy measure of vodka over ice, and motioned for his prospective client to continue.
Anyway, Roy was having trouble getting his ability to the next step, so Herschel hunted me down. I took a week, got them on the right path, then asked them to keep in touch. I'll spare you the finer points of the conversation, but they essentially told me to go fuck myself.
Look, hurt feelings can run deep, especially at that age.
See, that's the thing, Lenny. I don't think they were just hurt. I think they were right. Why should either one want to talk to me? Why should they care? I walked out on their mother and them. Reasons be damned, I still did it. I could have made more of an effort. I could have tried to stay in some part of their life. I fucked up. I let my own shit get in the way of people who needed me. That's a hard truth to accept, but I faced it. Unfortunately, that was when it occurred to me I had only scratched the surface on people I abandoned.
Lenny could already see where this was going.
Titan, come on, you're strong, but there are other heroes on the job.
It isn't about that, Lenny. It's about the fact that I could be out there. I could be helping people and making a difference. And instead, I holed up in Colorado to lick my wounds. I missed out on the opportunity to be a real father. And I know I'm never going to be an A-list hero from a popularity point of view. But I think it's time I stopped running away. I'm a strong man. We hit, and we get hit. It's time for me to finally shake off that last one and start moving again.
Lenny sighed.
Shit, Titan. Why couldn't you give those kinds of speeches back in the day? I could have made you freaking king of the heroes if you tugged the heartstrings on command.
What can you do now?
I can make a few calls,
Lenny said slowly.
No promises, just a few calls. For an old friend. A favor, if you want it.
Owen gave him a smile, and for an instant, Lenny was staring through time at the enthusiastic kid he'd first signed so very long ago.
I'll take it.
1. 2 months later.
You sure about this?
Lenny asked for somewhere around the 9th time, if Owen's count was correct.
That's the beauty of living behind a mask and a costume. Change those elements up and poof, new hero. It takes a little wiggling here and there, especially with guys of your proportions, but it's nothing I can't pull off.
Owen shook his head solemnly. They were in Lenny's office, cheesy decor surrounding the two very different men. Owen was suited up in his Titan costume, red shirt, red mask, and blue jeans, all wrapped around nearly 7 feet of solid muscle. As strong as he looked, he was actually far more powerful. Lenny, on the other hand, was still round and balding with a nose that looked like he'd tried to win a few boxing bouts by attacking his opponent's fists with his face. Still, there was more than a touch of smarts and charisma in that foul-mouthed cherub's eyes. Both were masters of their respective trades, though one had been out of the game for a long while.
"I'm not changing identities,"
Owen said.
"I'm coming back as Titan. If I don't, then I feel like I'm still running. It might not make sense to you, but this is how I have to do it."
Lenny ran his hand across the top of his head, touching more skin than hair by a large margin. Habits didn't die easily, though, even if follicles did.
"I was afraid you were going to say that. You know that makes things harder, right? The other way would open up a lot more options."
"The options for going at it the right way are the ones I want,"
Owen insisted.
"Don't say I didn't warn you."
Lenny slid a manila envelope across the desk to his client.
"Even with your license reinstated, there weren't a lot of people clamoring to have you on their team. You come with more heat than most folks are willing to take."
"Solo heroes exist,"
Owen said.
"Not for you, they don't," Lenny countered. "We let you go solo, and that's how you'll be until the end. You'll look like an outcast, the guy that no one wanted after his scandal. People like me will use your story as a cautionary tale to keep younger heroes in line."
"But no one does want me,"
Owen pointed out.
"Why would you bring that up? My ulcer isn't bad enough this week without you reminding me what we're trying to pull off here? You're a hurtful man, and you should be ashamed,"
Lenny chastised.
"Besides which, you're wrong. The team in that folder agreed to take you, so at least some people want you."
Owen took the clue to flip open the folder. As soon as he began reading, a frown formed at the corner of his mouth, visible just below the bottom of his skin-tight mask. The frown deepened the longer he read, until finally his gaze rose from the pages and across the desk to his agent.
"Corpies? Are you shitting me?"
"Oh, I'm sorry. Did my months of trying to impress upon you how few your options were not provide a slight clue that you were getting the bottom of the shit bucket? And don't call them that. The technical term is privately employed emergency response supers, or peers, if you don't have all day."
"Come on, Lenny, these people aren't even heroes."
Owen dropped the file onto the desk.
"Why would I be on a team of corpies?"
Try as he might, Owen couldn't imagine what sort of justification Lenny would use for this proposal. Corpies were supers who hadn't gone through the screening or training to get their hero certifications, and therefore were not allowed to confront criminal supers. However, through some loophole maneuvering and fancy legal footwork, it had been established that a super did not need a hero certification to assist in any emergency response operation that didn't involve combat. This charge was led by corporations that yearned to get their logos emblazoned on the capes of champions doing good, saving innocence, and spreading the word about how this particular laundry soap got your whites the whitest. Rarely did a corpy attain any real popularity. However, the few times they had gotten a following had been so profitable that companies eagerly rolled the dice and kept right on paying to keep their names on supers. Though many heroes considered them worthless hacks who couldn't cut it in the hero game, the fact remained that having them on hand usually did more good than harm, so their continued existence was tolerated with minor grumbling. But that didn't mean Owen wanted to babysit a damn group of them.
"Why? Because in order for them to function as an independent team, working in their own fancy headquarters, responding to various disasters and calls, they have to have a hero liaison on staff. Someone to bat cleanup if things get messy or trouble shows up. This team, as luck would have it, just lost their hero to retirement. No others are stepping forward, so they either had to take you on or go back to working in the basement of a police station, where the lights don't work and it smells like piss. Those were their options. Piss smell or you.
But...
And, Lenny said, raising his voice and rising slightly off his chair, I had to wheel and deal to make it happen. It was you in a luxury high-rise loft, or no you in a dank, piss-scented basement, and I had to convince them to take you. Are you getting the picture here?
Then forget it, Owen replied. If no team wants me, then I'll go solo after all. Let me be a story. Let everyone call me an outcast and a failure. Better that than chaperoning a bunch of corpies.
That is your prerogative, Lenny said, his temper cooling as he lowered himself back into his seat. You have the right to go at this alone, but if you do, then you're doing it completely alone.
A pang of uncertainty smacked Owen in the gut.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that if you go solo, I'm out. I'll finish the paperwork to make you official again, and that's it.
What the hell, Lenny? Suddenly it's my way or the highway? Whatever happened to finding what works best for the hero?
Owen resisted the urge to jump out of his own seat, only because he was afraid he might crack the floor. Lenny didn't yell back this time. Instead, he took an antacid from his desk drawer and dropped it into a glass of water with a fizzy plop.
I am thinking about what's best for you. We worked together for a long time back in the day. I know you, and that's why I'm telling you that you need a team. The family man image we sold you as worked because you are a family man. You need people around who depend on you. They give you strength. They are what push you past your hardest moments. Last time you went off on your own, your funk lasted over a decade and didn't break until your sons called you a fucker. You need a team, Titan. Without one, it's just a matter of time until it all becomes too much and you fall apart again. And I'm not hanging around for it this time.
Owen felt his indignation morph into shame. He'd been calling Lenny a quitter when he was the one who'd walked away. Lenny was doing what he did for all his clients, just trying to make sure they were put in the best position to stay happy and employed. He was watching out for Owen, even after Owen had nearly cost Lenny his reputation all that time ago. Owen reached across and picked back up the folder.
Are they expecting me?
You report for duty at 9 tomorrow morning, Lenny informed him.
Seems late.
They have a photo shoot at 7.
Owen resisted the urge to groan, but only barely. 2. Owen stared up at the building, admiring the way it jutted into the sky as though it were trying to spear clouds. On days with the right weather, it probably succeeded. He adjusted the duffel bag on his shoulder, more out of nerves than necessity. Even as fully as it was packed, the bag was nowhere near heavy enough to actually cause him discomfort. Most of his possessions had been stored back at his place in Colorado, though some had been sent ahead to this building via courier. The things in the bag he never trusted to anyone else. They were too important to be risked.
Titan?
The voice snapped Owen out of his marveling and brought him back to reality. He wasn't dressed as Titan currently. Instead, he wore simple clothes and a generic gray mask. Wearing such masks was standard practice for heroes who didn't want to be in character, but still needed to go places without showing their face. It was inconvenient. However, it beat the hell out of having one's identity blown. Since he wasn't wearing his Titan costume, though, it meant this was the man who had known he was coming. Or someone who was a really good guesser. The fellow who had spoken was tall and lean, wearing a suit that was conservative enough to say corporate, but expensive enough to show he was high on the food chain. His glasses and watch were designer, and his hair had been expertly styled. Owen suspected he was not going to like this person.
"You're Harold?"
"Mr. Green, if you don't mind," the man replied.
"Whatever you say."
Owen hefted his bag again.
"We going inside?"
"Of course," Mr. Green said. "If you'd be so kind as to follow me."
Mr. Green and Owen walked through the front doors, large glass ones that opened into a sprawling lobby that seemed to be made of marble. All around them, other people in suits and business-appropriate outfits scuttled about, doing things that they no doubt believed were of the utmost importance. In the center of the lobby, just ahead of a long row of elevators, was a circular station where a pair of guards sat. Mr. Green stopped at this station and handed them a card extracted from his breast pocket.
"We'll get your keycard and ID done this afternoon," Mr. Green informed him. "You'll need them at all times while on premises, otherwise you won't be permitted access."
"That's so."
Owen said the words casually, but as he spoke, his eyes swept the room, years of experience alerting him to the bits and bobbles of security a casual observer wasn't supposed to see.
"Have to say, the tasing system built into the floor wouldn't really slow me down, and the knockout gas dispensers you've got disguised as fire alarms would only tickle my throat. Now, the pulse cannons you've made to look like a potted plant, that might set me back a few steps."
"Impressive," Mr. Green commented. "I suppose there is more to you than size and reputation."
"I aim to please."
Once they passed the security guards, Mr. Green flashed his card in front of an elevator near the end of the line. Its doors whooshed open, and the two men stepped inside.
"All this for one team?"
Owen asked, as the elevator began to rise.
"Don't be silly. This building houses offices for multiple companies, all owned, at least partially, by Mordant Holdings. Each member of the team is sponsored by at least one of our companies, so we made a few floors into facilities for them. We find it best if our representatives stay on site."
"You mean where you can keep an eye on them?"
Owen said.
"We provide housing, food, facilities, and entertainment, all at no deduction from their salaries. I'd say that's quite a generous situation for them,"
Mr. Green shot back.
"Because we all know corporations love doing things from the goodness of their hearts."
Owen fiddled with his duffel bag once more.
"Look, I'm not telling you how to run your company or your team. Just calling it like I see it."
"I'd suggest you call it more quietly."
Mr. Green's eyes never wavered from the climbing numbers on the elevator's display.
"We approved taking you on as the hero liaison because it was deemed to be an overall net gain. Should that equation change, we may need to revisit your position's feasibility."
"Yeah, yeah. Toe the line like a good boy, or I'm out on my ass. If you don't mind me asking, what made you decide to take me on, anyway? I'm not exactly the best PR magnet these days."
"Mordant Holdings has recently received negative publicity at the hands of discrimination lawsuits, alleging we create a hostile working environment for women and homosexuals. Some of the recordings played in court and leaked online were particularly damning. as part of our efforts to assure...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?